Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Economics podcast from Bruegel, the economic policy think tank based in Brussels. My name is Sean Gibson. I'm Bruegel's press officer. Joining me today is Bruegel senior fellow, Reinhilde Wöchelers, for an installment of our Deep Focus podcast series, where we talk to Bruegel scholars in detail about their latest research. Hello, Reinhilde.
Hi.
So you have written a paper for the European Parliament's Committee on Industry, Research and Energy, in which you and your co-author Michael Baltensperger make recommendations about the shape of the next Research and Innovation Framework Programme, which is more commonly known as FP9, or even more commonly known as Horizon Europe, I believe. So this is the successor to the last Framework Programme, Horizon 2020. But before we get into the specifics of the last programme and the upcoming programme, perhaps you could set the scene for us a little bit, give us a sense of the landscape, the research landscape, particularly how the EU is doing in terms of being a centre of excellent research in comparison with the likes of the US and with China.
Yeah, I think it's, first of all, it's very important to have that scene setting exercise, because of course we want to care about the framework program and whatever we're doing, and if we know, understand better what the objectives are that we want to reach with that instrument. And that's why it's really also important that this objective of making Europe into a center of research excellence on a global scale is an important objective, because that will be very important also for driving Europe's growth perspectives in future here. So analyzing whether and what position Europe has as a center of global research excellence is important for evaluating whether our instrument or framework program is working well here, and it's also a very relevant objective to care about. So how are we doing, or how did we do in terms of research excellence and being such a center of research excellence? So on the one hand, you could say the glass is half full. The other hand could also be half empty, in the sense that we are making progress in terms of being much stronger in terms of science. Of course, in the global context, the US was usually the frontier. That's really the center of excellence that has traditionally been very strong and continues to be so. But Europe has been catching up relative to the US in terms of science, in terms of translating that science into innovation. That's already a bit more problematic. In some sectors, we really are able to improve and to maintain our positions, like, for instance, our traditional sectors like cars, also pharma. But some of the new sectors, like in digital, so there we actually completely missed and we're not able to catch up relative to the frontier that the US is. Now, on the global scene, in terms of research and innovation, there is not just only the US. There is also China, and China is, of course, increasingly becoming a way more important player. And so we definitely also need to compare the extent to which we are still ahead, or whether China is catching up on us, or even forging ahead on that. In that respect, what we see is the fast speed with which China is catching up, both in terms of science, but also in terms of corporate innovation, particularly in very targeted areas like engineering, material sciences, chemical engineering, and translating that into being a very strong innovation actor in some sectors, particularly digital. And that's, of course, again, something very important also to watch in the future. Here it's not just only the US as our comparison, but also China. So on the one hand, there is a lot of good news in the sense that we are, certainly in terms of science and in the sectors where traditionally we were strong, we are able to move ahead. But we're missing out on some new areas here, and we're also still not really at the top and the frontier pushing here compared to what's going on in the US and China here. So half empty, half full.
So you've already touched on this a little bit briefly, but did the previous EU research policy, specifically the public spending facilitated by the last framework program, has that helped improve the EU's position in global terms.
Yeah. So, of course, we didn't really do a causal analysis here, but it's really linking the two. So on the one hand, what was good about the last framework program was, first of all, an increasing budget here. So it's not just only the fact that there was more money, but it also reflected really growing importance as perceived by policymaking that this is something that actually needs to be supported here. So it's much more research and innovation is much more supported by policy at the EU level. And that's reflected in a larger budget here. So that was already very positive about the past. The way in which was allocated was also clearly focused on we need to focus on excellence. So that's the selection criteria. But also, of course, not only excellence, but also impact. And also this notion of we have to make sure that there is enough cohesion sustained in through the framework program is also an important objective. But still, excellence was a very important criterion. And if we look at, so we see this also, for instance, that the new instrument, European Research Council, was introduced in the past, and that really focused on, helped to focus much more on excellence. And what we see in the data is that indeed Europe is improving in terms of excellence, in terms of science here. So, and definitely the projects that were funded by the European Union resulted in much better publications and catching and improving in terms of excellence. So definitely the framework program with its focus on excellence help to put Europe much more on the map in terms of excellence in science. And something else I also want to point out is that what we also see is that the cohesion actually also improved here. So that cohesion in the sense that although, of course, there is still a big gap between leading and lagging science countries and innovation countries, we do see that although it goes very slowly, but there is a trend towards the less strong countries really catching up and catching up thanks to participation in framework programs and their co-publications. So although it's a slow process, it is there is definitely also cohesion going on. So in that respect, the framework program in the past really has helped to build excellence for Europe as a whole, and also has built in that trend towards cohesion.
Looking a little bit more to the future, what are the specific challenges that the EU faces going into this next framework program in order to try to continue to assert and establish itself?
Yeah. So I think in the future and in the report, we analyze several possible scenarios that could go. And of course, it's always very hard to predict which of these scenarios would play out. But what's definitely a case is that the science and innovation that's going to be a multipolar setting where the US and China and Europe are very strong poles here. And what will happen actually depends on how these poles will develop and how open they will actually be to interact with each other. So China definitely is a pole that will continue to grow in terms of science and innovation. It's in their mandate. That's what they want to get, and that's what they definitely will be. So the Chinese pole will continue to grow, will become much more important than it is now. The US is now already at the frontier, may find it difficult to stay there, but there is a lot of path dependency. So once you're at the frontier, it takes a long time before actually that top position is actually broken. So it will still definitely, even in the worst of cases, even if it would become much more closed pole here, still there is it will take a long time before actually its frontier position is really being eliminated. So that's something that Europe definitely has to take into account. There will be much stronger competition with China for sure, and the US competition will always still be there. So that means that for Europe, it will be increasingly important to really make sure that it is really also a top research pole here, because that's the only way in which you can continue to attract the best of talents, will be outside, coming from China. So we need to connect with these other poles in order to make sure that we keep the research excellence that we need in order to keep on building further on that research excellence here. So in the future, I think it's really very important how we can develop positive relationships, win-win relationships with these other poles, because that's the only way in which we can keep on being a research excellence. But at the same time, of course, we have to make sure that we need that research excellence also to translate whatever we can do by collaborating with others to translate that into value for our innovative activities here. But that's, again, why we need research excellence, not just only to attract talents from abroad, but also to make sure that with that research excellence, we can translate that into new activities that can drive European growth here. So in the future, definitely research excellence becomes even more an important issue, but research excellence really tied to openness here.
Now, Horizon Europe is the, as we said, is the framework program for the next 7 years for the EU. What particular ways does Horizon Europe hope to equip the EU to meet these research and innovation challenges?
Yeah. So again, so what's important then is really the importance of research excellence as an objective and as a criterion for selecting how we allocate the money. But it's also important at the same time to ensure that same openness that I was explaining, because openness is really very important to be able to, as a process to how you can reach excellence. So those are really the mechanisms that we have to look at for the Horizon Europe. So the extent to which it will be really supporting excellence and the extent to which it will build for that openness that we need in order to get that research excellence capacity. So first of all, the good news is more money, at least for the moment. And again, that's very important because that really reflects not only because of there is more money in the pot, but also because it reflects, again, the importance that policymaking attaches to this here. So that's a very important signal. Secondly, excellence is still an important criterion here. So in that respect, it's not that differently designed as before. There is, though, a bit more emphasis on pushing more for mission-oriented research here. But even in that mission-oriented, although it becomes more targeted, research excellence will still be very important research criterion here. It may not in every type of the program within the framework program be the sole criterion, like for the excellent science pillar, but it will always be there as at least one important condition. So that's very important to keep it there. There was also a whole discussion on cohesion and that there should be more emphasis on that. That's a very delicate balance because, of course, cohesion has to come also aligned with the excellence. And I think the way in which it was solved in the Horizon Europe is actually to have a dedicated program for cohesion with more money than used to be, but dedicated. And I think that's important because it cannot interfere with the other parts, which are solely focused on excellence, but making sure that there is enough support for these catching up countries to really develop and improve their research environment such that they can also vie for excellence here is an important, but it has to be with dedicated instruments and not with the main instruments. So that's a good way of balancing, I think. But what I'm a bit worried about is this openness here, because what really is important is that through the framework program, we built research excellence by allowing openness, by researchers being able to attract researchers from wherever they are, as long as they are excellent researchers. We do that intra-EU here, so that works, this mobility through the framework program. But of course, since there is a lot of research excellence outside the EU, and increasingly, I think we also need to build in much more in these instruments our openness to outside the EU and not divert away the attention towards only intra-EU. That will be particularly a challenge because if we don't know what happens with Brexit and what the position will be for research on Brexit here, but That means that one of our very important poles inside the EU, certainly for research excellence and innovation excellence, will be outside. And so we need to think way more carefully whether we have the right openness, and not just only emphasizing too much intra-EU mobility and collaboration, but also keeping it sufficiently open, particularly for those partners for research excellence here. Openness is on the table, but it's much more an issue in terms of diplomacy. But I think for science, what matters is really making sure that we are open to where really the research excellence is.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. So thank you, everyone, for listening in to this Deep Focus. And thank you, Reinilda, for talking us through your research. You can find more of Bruegel's work, from publications and blog posts to all of our other podcast episodes, at our website, www.bruegel.org. We hope you'll join us again for The Sound of Economics. Until then, bye-bye.